David Trainer, the president and founder of New Constructs, is here. And if you are a fan of The Danger Zone, you had to wonder if the stock we're talking about was going to be here. Well, it is, and you'll find out what it is now in The Danger Zone. Welcome to The Danger Zone. This is where we welcome David Trainer to the show, and we talk about the research they do at New Constructs, his securities firm, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And I very much want you to be thinking, if you've listened to The Danger Zone in recent weeks and months, about was there something that you were thinking, yeah, I bet I see this in The Danger Zone. Because I've been thinking for a while that The Danger Zone, it's not that it's been missing something, it was more, when would this particular issue reach this destination? And that's where we're going today. But if you want more information on what we're about to talk about when you hear it and we're done, go to newconstructs.com, where they blog about all of their Danger Zone picks, so you can always get more information. They're also on Twitter, at New Constructs. Again, newconstructs.com for all the information on the firm, its most dangerous and most attractive lists, and more. David Trainer, good to talk with you again.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
So, who's in the Danger Zone this week?
Uber!
Danger, danger!
I have to tell you, I have been waiting for this one for a while. It is the only way. Listening to you talk about Lyft, as you did a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking,
baby, you can drive my car.
Oh, yeah, you can drive the exact same car and the exact same vehicle and have potentially an even bigger crash or problem with Uber than you would with Lyft. And so here it is. No question, Uber's in the Danger Zone. Before it IPOs, why? Because it's not just Lyft all over again. It's kind of like Lyft 2.1, so like bigger, better, and changes.
Yeah, it's like Lyft 5.0. It's five times bigger, so the valuation is five times bigger. And we think that, honestly, that's the only way that they can let people think about this deal. Because Lyft is X and we're five times bigger, we should be 5X. If the conversation takes any further analytical steps past that logic, then you pierce the whole sort of veil here on what is honestly a huge scam. The problem here is that the private equity markets are in a bubble. They're bidding up their own investments, like SoftBank putting more money into Uber. All that does is improve the carrying value of Uber on their balance sheet, make the fund look like it's more profitable on a book value basis, on an unrealized gain basis, which a lot of these guys get paid on. And so we've just got this circular sort of deal or reasoning, a logic, that when you look past the circular logic, which is only, well, if Lyft is worth X and Uber is 5X, then Uber should be worth 5X. You look past that, the house of cards, man, folds quickly. Uber's not profitable, and I don't know if they ever, I mean ever, will be. $100 billion, and I take my hat off to you, Chuck, for letting me do this on the show, because guess what? A lot of firms, a lot of other media outlets, they don't want me on there.
Yeah.
And I've seen the people that other TV shows, et cetera, have on pushing this thing, and it's a joke. And even the anchors on these shows, who are almost always bullish, are pushing back on this Uber thing. And I want to be first to go on record here to say, I think there's a chance this IPO doesn't get done because they can't get the shares syndicated because people are like, I can't flip it fast enough. I'm not taking the risk.
Wow. Now, David, your language here has been very harsh. We can joke all we want. But when you use the word scam, I get it. You're not talking about scam like, you know, the kind of thing that we're reporting to the FTC where somebody's tried to, you know, fish for our credit cards or whatever. But what you are saying is that the numbers here are completely misleading. And the biggest thing for you is the growth number. Is that, in your opinion, the growth number here is, I mean, it's fiction. It's not, I was going to say it's grossly overstated, but I've seen the research. You're not talking about this being grossly overstated. You're talking about being a work of fiction.
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd. I mean, Uber, you know, I got a question around, well, so-and-so is calling themselves a so-and-so kind of company, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, listen, this is all just smoke and mirrors, man. They're trying to come up with whatever name or whatever concept can get you distracted from understanding the fundamentals. And again, I'm not saying ever, Chuck, that fundamentals should be 100% of everyone's investment decision process, but I will say it shouldn't be zero. What Uber is effectively retreating to is they have a 12 trillion, yes, that's a trillion with a T, total addressable market, right, which includes personal mobility, food delivery, and freight shipping. The World Bank estimates that global GDP was $80 trillion in 2017. So Uber's thinking they can capture something like 15% of global economic activity for one firm. Who in the history of the world has had 100% market share of anything enough to get anywhere close to 15% of global economic activity? Tell me that's not absurd.
That is ridiculous. That's ridiculous. The question, you know, you said you think that the IPO could falter, that it could wind up, that it doesn't come off. If that happens, does that, in terms of what it does for, not goodwill, it would be ill will, but when you think about that, I mean, have we ever had a circumstance where that happened and you could then relaunch the company or redo something down the line and wind up having it be a quality stock? Or when that happens, nobody ever trusts it again?
Oh, you never. I mean, it's hard to predict what's going to happen, because what you have, think about it like this. Private equity is all sort of the Wall Street insiders, the big wigs, right? Most of the smart people got out of public equities, honestly, in the mid-90s. I saw it happening when I was on Wall Street. The first and second, third string guys, they were out of it, you know, when I was there. And I could tell that these folks were not, well, the people I was working with just weren't of the same character, and I think even integrity. As public markets became awash, and this was right before the tech bubble, right? Just became awash with effectively predators, people trying to just hit a big lick and make a lot of money quickly with no sense of sort of the stewardship and responsibility that it came to being in the position of power that all these Wall Street analysts and firms were in. And so now that same kind of, I would say, degeneration or decline in character that happened in the public side of things really also happened in the private equity side of things. The problem is that they've bid up these assets like an Uber and a Lyft or Pinterest or any of them right now, all these tech stocks coming out. The private equity markets have gotten so inflated that they're like, oh, crap, who are we going to sell this to now?
Yeah.
And the only people willing to buy, you know, are people thinking they can get, you know, get rid of it or just pass the risk on to the less sophisticated, self-directed or average investor. And the part about this that kind of gets me, you know, a little bit ticked off, Chuck, is the fact that this is really unfair. This is really unfair because the private equity guys who push these things to prices they know they don't deserve are going to make out like bandits. And the average guy is going to be held holding an empty bag. And I just don't think that's right. And that's part of why I'm writing about this and I'm talking to you about it, because I just want as many people to know as possible that whatever this IPO does on the day it goes out, if it pops like Pinterest popped and Lyft, remember, it popped. It's now down 20%. I just want people to understand the kind of risk they're taking if they do invest in this IPO. I want them to go into this eyes wide open knowing that this company is losing absurd amounts of money, like $3 billion last year. I don't see any path to profitability. Profitability is getting worse, not better. The more they grow, the worse their profitability gets, and I can get into details behind that. There are no network advantages here, and we're trying to value this thing as much as we valued Facebook when it came out. And it's just, it's frightening to me, I want as many people as possible to have a chance to avoid making this mistake.
We always say that you go in looking for the question,
is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
And in this case, yes, we know that that's the answer. Very quickly, if you had to assign an appropriate price. Now, we know IPO stands for it's probably overpriced, but if you had to assign a price for Uber that you think would be fair when they come out, what would it be?
The best I can do is $22 billion or 78% below the current valuation. And that's just because that's how much Uber spent to date to get to where they are. So you could make an argument if I'm a GM or if I'm a Google and I've got awesome self-driving car technology, and I immediately want to be able to tap into an existing network that's been created, like what Uber has. And I'm going to, of course, ask the very natural and inevitable question that any intelligent potential buyer would ask, and that is it better to buy or to build? If it cost Uber $22 billion to get to where they are today, well, then why would I pay Uber $100 billion?
Yeah, it's a question that's worth asking, and if you come to the same conclusions, then you're not surprised that Uber is headed for trouble. If you want to learn more about this report, and again, you won't see all of this research everywhere because David's correct. There's a lot of people that don't want to talk about IPOs being problematic. Go to newconstructs.com. Find the report there. They blog about all their Danger Zone picks. There is plenty of information there on this one. David Trainer, thanks as always for joining me.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
That's David Trainer, everybody. He is the president at New Constructs. On Twitter at New Constructs. Online at newconstructs.com. Up next.